Well, I invite you this morning to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you want to participate, you can take the sermon notes out of the worship folder if you grabbed one of those, or you can use the Bible app within the events, and those verses are already pulled up for you. We have been, over the last 6 weeks, been talking about the importance of decision-making. Because we know that the quality, and I've said this every week, the quality of our decisions often can determine the quality of our lives. That it's a compounding issue of things. The problem is, though, that most of us aren't the best decision makers because we tend to live into the moment of that's happening and let the emotions and all those things help dictate the decisions that we make. And so in an effort to counter that, and I forgot, I'm supposed to release the kids to go to children's church. So kids, if you want to go to children's church, you are released. And you get to say, yay, freedom. Anyway, that in the midst of the moment is not the best time to make those decisions. So what we are encouraging us to do is understanding within the scripture and what God has already declared for us and of who we are, that we would take those values and understand that when we face this situation, that we are going to understand that we are this kind of person, and then therefore the decision is made for us. So we've looked at six different decisions, or we will have looked at six different decisions on understanding that, because when you know who you are, you know what to do. And so if you've been with us, we've talked about the commitment to be ready. We've talked about the commitment to be consistent, to be devoted, to be generous, and to be faithful. And today, as we wrap up this series, I want to talk to you, those of you, and I'm sure this pretty much understands everybody in this room. I know it does myself, who have at one point had a goal, a dream, a vision, who desired to start something and had great enthusiasm and excitement and anticipation, and as usually happens, you hit resistance and frustration and things stall and you're just tempted to quit. Have you been there? So if you've ever felt like giving up, I want to encourage us to understand and to declare that I am a finisher. That doesn't mean finishing off the ice cream. I had to throw that in there. Or the cheesecake or all the other good stuff that everybody cooks. But I want to say, let's start with the obvious. It's easy to start things. It's easy to start things, but not so easy to finish them. And one writer even stated that enthusiasm is common, but endurance is rare. I will state very clearly, I've tried to start running again, and I don't know why, but I have. And that first mile is one of the most painful things that makes me question life, because it's easy to start, but it's very, very easy to stop, because you don't want to keep going. And what they've started to do some research, let's look at why people are successful in going all the way. What is it that makes that person different than other people? And so they did this study and they started looking through business leaders and military leaders and kids that can spell really well and get to the top levels of these spelling competitions and all these different things, and teachers and people that encounter difficulties. And they start, what is it that gets these people through the difficult times to continue on. And with all the different qualities, they figured out that it's not intelligence, it's not appearance, it's not talent, it's not education, it's not about who or what they know. The biggest and top quality of that was identified as grit. Grit. Their willingness to stick to it, to persevere. In fact, they defined it as the strength of character that refuses to quit. Some of us might call it stubbornness as well. And there's a difference because that stands these people that have this grit, this stick-to-itiveness against others is because our world by nature tends to go to the easy, to the path of least resistance. And so if things get difficult, it's really easy and often almost expected that we will give up, that we'll quit. So for us, the big decision really comes is that we need to understand that when I commit, I will not quit. That's easy to remember. It's not always so easy to follow through. Because I'm a finisher, when I commit, I will not quit. So the question must be asked for us, how do we, understanding that we are called to be followers of Christ as disciples of Jesus who is the ultimate finisher, how do we strengthen our perseverance so that when the devil comes at us and says, you know, it'd be easier just to give up, how do we understand and continue through? How do we strengthen our character and our perseverance and our grit, our refusal to quit? And so I want us to look at the words of Paul in 2 Timothy this morning. For some context, Paul is writing this letter from the deepest dredges of not home imprisonment that he had been before, but he's in a dungeon basically, awaiting Nero's sentence to be fulfilled where he will be executed. And he's writing this letter to this young man that's a pastor named Timothy. And he's writing these instructions and these encouragement words for him. And it says this, "Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." So Paul's saying, hey, Timothy, you think you got it easy now. And we know that Timothy hasn't had it easy. But he says, just wait, it's going to get worse. Now what words of encouragement that is, huh? He says, people aren't going to want to listen to what you have to say because you're speaking truth. They're going to want to hear what tickles their ear. So what are you going to do? He says, keep going at it. He says, verse continues, "But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." Being a Christian doesn't mean that things get easy. In fact, it almost guarantees that you're going to have more difficult times because we are counter-cultural. Though as followers of Christ, we're called to do the difficult things. And so Paul is telling Timothy and us, finish what God has called you to start. Go through, keep your head in the game, fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. And understand, not just the pastors are ministers, we are all, as disciples of Christ, ministers in our own way. We've all been called to be active participants of bearing the message of Christ's hope and forgiveness. So verse 6 says, Paul says, you know, I've been in the battle. I haven't given up. I've fought the good fight. I've remained faithful. And it's obvious that Paul knows that he is finished. You know, as he writes these, he doesn't know how many more letters he's going to be able to write. He knows the time is coming. And he's saying, you know, but while I have finished my race, you haven't finished yours, is what he's saying. So he doesn't want you to understand that you can give up. God has more for you and me to do. So if you find yourself tired, if you find yourself discouraged, feeling like giving up, you need to hear this from God this morning. And I really need all of us to hear these words. Doesn't matter how old or how young you are. If you are not dead, you are not done. Just because you served back then doesn't mean you don't serve now. If you're not dead, you're not done, because there is more for you to do. So if you find yourself tired and discouraged, understand God's not done with you. God has plans, more assignments for you. There's more love to give, more people to help, more ministries to start, more businesses to launch. There's more hope to share. There's more friendships to make. There's more additions and addictions to break. In fact, we need to steadily encourage and remind each other. And it's not a bad practice daily to look at one another and say, God's got more for you to do. If you're not dead, you're not done. We're fully called to finish the mission that God has called us to. And some of us are like, well, God, Pastor, I'm tired. I'm so busy. I got all these things. I'm running to kids everywhere. I'm doing all these different things. And I, you know, I'd like to finish, but I've got so much other things to do. I'm just stressed out. And I don't know who this is for, other than everybody. But I understand you might be feeling the stress that you've got so much to do, but that you haven't done what God has called you to do, and it's adding the stress, and you know who I'm talking to. In fact, the author David Allen says this, and this quote's really kind of gotten to me this week. Much of the stress that people feel doesn't come from having too much to do. It comes from not finishing what they've started. That's why one of our prayers that we've talked over the weeks in past was and continues to be, God, show me what you want to show me and give me the strength to follow through. God, help me. You called me to it. Give me the strength to persevere. And this isn't a new phenomenon. It's not only found in modern day that there are people, you know, start and then don't finish. In fact, in Revelation 3, John the Revelator writes in Jesus' message to the church in Sardis, he says, I know the deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Hey, wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Essentially, Jesus is saying, some of you have unfinished business. You're not done. Remember, if you're not dead, you're not done. And this morning, I want to ask you this question: what's your unfinished business? What is it that you have to do? What's your unfinished assignment? What is it as a follower of Jesus you were prompted to do, you hoped to do, you knew you were supposed to do, you were going to get to it, but you never did? Maybe you even started it, but it kind of got difficult and other things got in the way and you never finished. What is it that you've been prompted to do that you need to finish? Perhaps you were going to try and heal a broken relationship and you never reached out to that person. Maybe God prompted you to share your faith with someone. Maybe you were supposed to give something and you never did. It might have been that you were going to start serving at church and you using your gifts because God has called you to it and you just never quite got to it. You never followed through. Maybe there was a ministry you were really being called to start, or a business you were supposed to launch, or there was a physical goal that you kind of knew God was calling you to do, and you were going to apologize to someone. What is the unfinished business that you have before you that God has called you to and you haven't fully followed through with? We all have some. But I love the advice that Paul gave to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 8. He says, last year, you were the first not only to give, but to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not in according to what he does not have. God has provided you more than enough. What is it, the gift that you need to follow through? What's your unfinished business? What is it that God has prompted you to do that you haven't done? You may ask, well, what's the big deal if I quit? I mean, everybody does it, because that's a great reason. Why does it matter? In really, the bigger idea that we need to understand is this, that every decision you make is actually a vote towards your future. Remember, the quality of your decisions impacts your future. So your voting when you quit is that you're that kind of person who quits. That you're putting that on your marker. That you're that kind of person, that you're not a finisher. On the other hand, when you start, stand strong in God and you persevere through the things and you don't look back and you don't back down and you follow through to the finish line, you are voting that you are a finisher. That you are that kind of person in character and in values. We're all called to persevere. We're all called to be displayers of the grit that God has endowed us all to. When I commit, I'm not going to quit because I am a finisher. We need to declare to ourselves and each other that you may see me struggle. And I want you to understand, being a finisher doesn't mean you won't struggle, because you will. But when I'm a finisher, you may see me struggle, but you're not going to see me quit. Acts 20, verse 24, Paul declares, I consider my life worth nothing to me if I may only finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now, there's a little phrase in that that's power-packed, and we look at it, we go, well, that's a cool statement, but we often really miss the value of that statement has for us. Have you ever wondered, why is it when Paul, I mean, he was shipwrecked, beaten, bitten by snakes, all these different things, thrown out of towns constantly, all his persecution because he was preaching the gospel in Gentile, and more importantly, Roman-controlled places. And he never backed down. Why is it that Paul continued to do it when he faced so much opposition? His life was constantly on the line. And we watch and we read this, it's because he wasn't running it for himself. He says, I consider my life worth nothing to me, but for the grace that God has called me to do. Because it's not about me. It wasn't about Paul. He wasn't looking for notoriety. He wasn't looking for fame. Paul was doing what he was doing because he was called by God to do it. It wasn't about his desires. It's not about my desires. It's not about my dreams. It's not about my 401k. It's not about my popularity. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but if you're quitting what God has called you to do, maybe you need to evaluate some things in your life. Because if you care more about something in your life than you do about following what God has called you to do, then there's some messed up priorities. And so for you and for me, we need to answer this blank in this statement. I consider my blank worth nothing. What is it that you need to put in there? You know, maybe it's your personal comfort. I consider my personal comfort worth nothing, if that I may please God, Jesus, and finish the race. I consider my net worth worth nothing. I consider the opinions of others worth nothing. I consider my personal hopes and dreams worth nothing if I only may finish the race that God has called me to run. Because you don't run it for you, we're running it for God. So if you want to finish, and you're facing the struggle, and you want to push through, but you don't know that you can, understand that while you keep your eyes focused, not on the finish line, you keep your eyes focused on God. He's the one that's calling you to do it. And here's the next thing. You take the next step. Don't get bogged down in the grandness of it. Just take the next step of faithfulness. And the great news is you don't have to finish the race today, because you won't. You take the next step. When you look at life and ministry of Jesus, and you look at all the different steps he took from when he started to when he finished, he was running faithfully for God and just taking the next step one moment to the next. He was running for his Father day by day. Week after week, month after month, year after year, painful moment after painful moment. And he just kept taking the next step. When they hated him, he took the next step and loved them back. When they struck him on the cheek, took the next step and turned the other cheek. When he was carrying the cross up the hill and fell to the ground, he just stood back up and took the next step. And when he was hanging on the cross and they mocked him and they shamed him, he took the next step and he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. Because from the very moment that he entered into this ministry, it wasn't about him. He said it even at the garden. He says, God, I want all these things, but not my will, but yours. And you constantly see it from the very moment he says, you know, I've pre-decided that I'm always ready. I'm always consistent. I'm always devoted. I'm always generous. I'm always faithful. And I am a finisher. And so right before Jesus looks up to heaven and he cries out, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Right before he breathed his last, right before that, he declares, Tetelestai. It is finished. God, I've followed through. I've done what you've called me to do, not because it's something I wanted for myself, but because I wanted to follow through for you, not my will, but yours. In our world, the trajectory is often so toward what's easy and convenient, and the devil wants us just to pull back when and quit what God wants us to do. He wants the churches just to get comfortable. He wants us just to pat ourselves, sing our little songs, and not get involved and engage in the mission of Christ. And God is calling us to do something more than just sit and quit. And I don't know how this is what God has called you to do. I don't know how this will play out in your life, but maybe for you and for me, when you're about to give up, you decide, no, I'm going to say one more prayer. I'm going to make that one call that I needed to make. I'm going to forgive one more time. I'm not going to go away. I'm running another mile. I'm memorizing another verse. I'm taking another lesson. I'm asking for another meeting. I'm reaching out and I'm praying for my child one more time. And I'm showing up, you know, regardless. I'm doing right even when others say it's wrong. God is calling us to continue to dream that dream, stay in the game, because when you commit, you're not going to quit. You take the next step. They knock you down, you get back up. And while they tell you you can't, you believe that with God's help, you can. You run for God and you continue to take just the next step. And I realize that there are going to be times. Oh, there are going to be times when you just think you can't because you're tired. Your strength is weary. You've forgiven with every bit of faith you have. You've loved and they've taken advantage. You've given and they don't care. You've prayed and you're not seeing results. And it's in those moments I want you to really understand this. And this is a grand scheme. You're not running alone. The church body, for one, we're here together. We're all running together. We have people helping keep the pace and picking up, and we're running as a group. We're in this together. You're not running alone. But also, more importantly, and you're not running alone, understand and be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. That Christ says he will never leave you nor forsake you. That God is with you all the way, encouraging you. Hebrews 12 talks about the great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. You are not alone. So keep taking the next step. That on that day, when our lives are being celebrated maybe, and we're in heaven, you will be received and well done, my good and faithful servant. But also, that those that are talking about you will be able to say, he finished well. He never gave up. He did what he said he was going to do. He was faithful. He was ready. He was committed. He was generous. He followed God because God loved him first. And as our ushers come forward, we're going to take communion this morning and invite the band to come up as well. You'll find in the communion where this month, there's two cups in each one. Just pick one cup. It has the bread and the juice in the stack. If you need a gluten-free, there are gluten-free ones in the middle. So you can grab those. But we invite you to participate in communion with us. If you will hold the communion so we can participate together, that would be great. But we invite you to sing as we pass out and share communion together. But Heavenly Father, we give you this day. And God, not only this day, but the next, and the next, and the next, that we are fully committed to following you. That God, you are our God, not just of the moment, but that you were before all things were. And that you will be through and through. That God, you are a God that does not change. Your love is boundless. That your Holy Spirit empowers us to follow through. May we declare today that we are finishers because you finished the task for us. that you died on the cross when we did not deserve it, could not follow through on our own in that way, that you paid the price for our lives, that you have offered forgiveness for each and every one of us, that we might just receive it and take it into our own life and apply it in thankfulness as we live out our lives, that we would forgive others because you've forgiven us first. And so today, as we participate in this holy sacrament of communion, God, may your Spirit flow. And we do this in thankfulness and remembrance of you. In your name we pray, amen.